Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Choice. Welcome to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Turn your audio up, Central Texas. You're about to listen to the best hour high school sports talk on radio. This is the Vipe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bing, the host of this great show. Excited to be here today. I have so much to get through on today's program. Have some sad news to share in regards to an area high school legend passing. I have a couple things to say about that. And also, we have so much playoff coverage when it comes to high school football. Obviously, you know, you have the big schools, 5A and 6A, kicking off their postseason this week. So we got area round matchups for teams in those classifications. We also have area results for small school playoff action from this past week, plus their schedules for the week ahead. Those teams are really winding down their season. For 2A, 3A, and 4A, they got two more postseason games of the season. So if an area team has made it to the week ahead, that means that they're playing in the state semifinals. For 1A, they have no games next week because they have the bye week because they have the early state championship game in about a week and a half. And so, and then, you know, you got 6 weeks of 5A and 6A playoff action starting this week. So that's so much to get through. I will let you know, obviously, those area playoff qualifiers, they're matchups in the first round for the big schools, obviously for the fifth round for 2A, 3A, and 4A, and then obviously the last round for 1A. We will give you, obviously, playoff predictions. We'll update our area UIL 5A and 6A football rankings as well. Plus, you know, I'll give you some predictions for postseason games and have so much more to get through. Have some commentary as well on some things I disagreed with in terms of how some of these district executive committees decided who was going to represent their district in the postseason for football. There were some unique decisions that went into, you know, some teams that, you know, weren't supposed to be in the playoffs but will be going to the playoffs. And then specifically, there was one area team that it looks like, even though they finished fourth in the district, they'll probably not be going to the playoffs. So definitely want to get through all that. There will be kind of a shakeup when it comes to the order of stuff. I wanted to, in the first segment, kind of get through the rankings for 5 and 6. To get those out of the way, let you know, obviously, some area results from this past week that helped define these rankings. For the next couple weeks, there's not going to be rankings because obviously all our area football teams are going to be in the playoffs. But once the season has concluded, you'll start getting these final area team football rankings in future episodes. So not saying that there won't be rankings, you know, once the postseason concludes, because there will be. But there will be a period of time once these teams are in the postseason that we don't update the rankings weekly. But we'll get to that. And like I said, in the first segment, I had a couple words about Liberty Hill Head football coach Jeff Walker passed away this week. Let's start with that, and then we can get to those rankings. Go from a not so great story to a little bit more uplifting mood going into the second half of the show. Also, haven't mentioned it yet, but we do have an interview in the second segment coming up with Austin St. Andrews Episcopal School Associate Athletic Director and Head Lacrosse Coach Josh Blumenthal. Excited to bring the interview back to today's program. But let's quickly go through the updated UIL 5A and 6A football rankings. We start in UIL 5A Division 2. Number 5 this week, Georgetown Eastview. They had a bye week this week, actually for the second straight week. Number 4, Marble Falls, bye week. They actually fall from 3 to 4 because Austin McCallum won its last game, 20-0 against Austin Northeast Earl College. And, you know, if you remember, Austin McCallum did beat Marble Falls earlier this year in district play. So I'm going to give them the head-to-head. I know McCallum has a 5-2 record, Marble Falls is 6-2. But, you know, as close as they are, I'm going to give the edge to McCallum going into the postseason. And then number 2, Leander Rouse, and number 1, Liberty Hill. Both those teams have 8 wins. Liberty Hill is perfect on the year, and Leander Rouse is 8-1. So once again, UIL 5A Division 2, number 5, Georgetown Eastview, number 4, Marble Falls, number 3, Austin McCallum, number 2, Leander Rouse, and number 1, Liberty Hill. And 5A Division 1, number 5, Pflugerville, number 4, Pflugerville-Henderson, number 3, Dripping Springs, number 2, Georgetown, number 1, Cedar Park. Not much action in this classification this week, but there were a couple key games. Pflugerville-Henderson did beat Leander 35-21 to improve to 6-2 on the year, but also clinch a playoff berth. There was a key game that was supposed to also happen for the Hawks this week against Pflugerville, but that game got canceled because the Leander-Henderson game got pushed back too late in the week. So Pflugerville does stay at number 5, and Pflugerville-Henderson does stay at number 4. Number 3, Dripping Springs, also stays where they're at. They did lose 70-63 in a thriller against the game. Number 2, Georgetown, stays where they're at after a bye week in Cedar Park. Stays and also completes the regular season with an undefeated record after beating Maynard 59-18. In the UIL 6A football rankings, we start with number 10, Renwick Cedar Ridge, who was previously not ranked, but this team, 3 wins in a row going into Saturday against Renwick Stony Point. Obviously, they've been really playing some good ball. The team that did fall out was Austin High, who had a bye week. Number 9, Hayes, stays where they're at. They had a bye week. Number 8, Harker Heights, they are still at number 8 after a 42-20 win against Belton. The Knights are 7-3 on the season. Cedar Park Vistridge, back-to-back bye weeks, they're 7-2. They stay at number 7. Clean Shoemaker, also a bye, 7-2. Number 6, number 5, Austin Vandegrift, same record, 7-2, also a bye. Number 4, Round Rock, 70-41 win against Round Rock Westwood. Number 3, Temple, 9-1. They had a bye. Number 2, Lake Travis, 3rd straight week without a game. They stay at number 2. And number 1, Westlake, 8-0, 2nd straight bye. So once again, 6A football rankings. Number 10, Renwick Searidge. Number 9, Hayes. Number 8, Harker Heights. Number 7, Cedar Park Vistridge. Number 6, Clean Shoemaker. Number 5, Austin Vandegrift. Number 4, Round Rock. Number 3, Temple. Number 2, Lake Travis. Number 1, Westlake. In case I didn't repeat the 5A Division 1 rankings, it's number 5, Pflugerville, number 4, Pflugerville-Henderson, number 3, Dripping Springs, number 2, Georgetown, and number 1, Cedar Park. Quickly, I wanted to share some condolences. I hate that I had to hear about Liberty Hill head football coach Jeff Walker passing away this week. This guy was really kind of the figurehead for that very dominant Liberty Hill football program for a number of years, especially in recent years with their dominance in 4A and obviously this year in 5A. And, you know, this guy, I mean, he was working up to the day that he died. And, you know, that says a lot about who he was, the type of work ethic that he put into his job, the type of leader that he was for his players, his coaches, the community of Liberty Hill, the town of Liberty Hill. And it sounds like, you know, that 2018 season, which I got a chance to cover quite a bit, not only at Vibe.com, but on the one of the previous shows that I did for Vibe Hill Country Show. You know, we talked about him and his team so much that year. And, you know, there were a couple moments that year, you know, the overtime loss at Hutto. I was at that game. It was a phenomenal game. Liberty Hill obviously was spectacular in that. Obviously, the upset of number one Carthage, defending state champ, actually back-to-back defending state champ Carthage, ending the 40-game win streak that Carthage had, and then obviously advancing to a state title game that year. So, obviously, you know, it's sad to hear his passing, but he will be missed, and we'll send it off. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with a great interview.
Follow the latest in Central Texas high school sports all week long online at VipeATX.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the Vipe High School Spotlight. Obviously, always enjoy this part of the show because we get to bring in some other people to show, other voices, other perspectives. And we got a good one today in Austin St. Andrews Episcopal School Associate Athletic Director and Head Lacrosse Coach Josh Blumenthal. And wanted to bring him on because obviously, one, his lacrosse team is going to start focusing in on the season in the next couple months as it, you know, starts competing once again at a high level. But also wanted to bring him in because he does so much at Austin St. Andrews. You know, he definitely has his hand in so many different buckets. And one of the things that he kind of introduced me to early on when I was covering the Austin area for Vibe a couple years back was this tradition that happens at his school every December. And it's a unique tradition. It's annual, and I want to kind of bring him on to talk about that. But before I get to all that, Coach Blue, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. And looking forward to chatting with you a little bit here, as I always do.
Awesome. Well, like I said a minute ago, you know, this is a big week for Austin St. Andrews because, you know, you have that Silent Night tradition event that occurs during a basketball game every year. I got to go cover it a couple years ago. Really did enjoy that. Kind of tell our audience how it got started at St. Andrews and, you know, why it's continuing to be a successful thing that y'all are bringing back every single year.
Sure. Thanks again. So Silent Night is a tradition that was started by Taylor University, a small school in Indiana. And basically, the premise of it is that the entire crowd is silent. So as soon as the tip-off happens, everyone is literally silent. You can hear a pin drop. And you are quiet through the first 9 points. And then on the 10th point, everyone erupts. And normally, in you know a little bit more of a normal year, we would have a packed gym. This year, we'll have some fans, but certainly, you know, making sure that we're doing it within the specifications and guidelines that our school offers for fan attendance. But we'll have people dress up. We'll have different contests. We'll have a whole bunch of stuff. But what's interesting about the tradition, and we alternate every year. One year we'll do, you know, the boys will do it while the girls will do a teddy bear toss through Operation Blue Santa, where we donate teddy bears at halftime. It's sort of a hockey tradition, but and then we'll flip flop. And this year it's the boys' turn. We have had two games thus far. Last year was a little bit of a hiatus; we weren't able to do it for circumstances beyond our control. But we've done it twice versus Regents. We haven't won yet. So this year we're doing it with our friendly neighbors and rivals, the North St. Stephens, and that'll be this Tuesday at 7:30 for the boys. And the most exciting reason, and the reason I think it's been well received throughout the years, is first of all, basketball is always fun, but second off, it's to who's to see which player gets bragging rights for the whole year. And you know, it's a little bit nerve wracking, and you know, which in this case, which guy is going to be the one to sink that that elusive 10th point. And it's fun for everyone, and I think the guys get maybe a little bit more butterflies than they normally do on a normal game.
You touched on two things that really connected with me. I mean, I know when I was in high school, you know, there was something about going to the high school basketball games and being in the student section and cheering like crazy, you know, chanting all this stuff to obviously kind of, you know, feel like you're part of the not only student body, but the school community. You're helping your team be successful. And I know, you know, a couple years ago when I covered this event for Vibe, you know, I could definitely notice, especially once, you know, the 10th St. Andrews point was scored, you know, the crowd was really into it. You could definitely see them, you know, sharing their passion. And so in 2020, you know, I know you said, you know, it could be slightly different this year with, you know, the turnout and who will be allowed to come in. What will be different about this year's event compared to past years in terms of, you know, making the most of the opportunity, but also what are going to be some of the differences in terms of the, you know, the logistics?
Well, in years past, we literally roll out the bleachers, and they're pretty packed, and they're roughly about 400 seats, give or take. This year, we only allow two people per home team, so every basketball player gets two fans allowed, and every away team gets one fan allowed. So right there, you're cutting your attendance probably by two-thirds. Math is not necessarily my strong suit, so we're just going to go two-thirds and hope it's right. So it'll be a little bit different. Also, this year, something that we haven't done, and we're doing it across the board with Vibe, is we are broadcasting every single game, 5th through 12th grade, live. So awesome. Even though the atmosphere is really cool to be there in the gym, for those that can't be there for whatever reason, you can watch it online. And, it, you know, the thing I think will be really interesting is that for people that are watching the game, that don't know it's Silent Night, they'll probably think there's something wrong with their audio or something because they won't hear anyone talking. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, the spirit of Silent Night is still there, and that's what's great. Normally we also have our choir come and they sing Silent Night after the 10th point score. Traditionally you call a timeout when the 10th point is scored. So, you know, it won't be as much fanfare as in previous years. But again, I think the on-court product will be just the same, if not even stronger this year, given everything that's, you know, that's gone on in 2020.
And this is just an idea. You know, I know you were saying that people will be able to watch it on Vibe Live. And, you know, obviously they'll be watching it, tuning in live. You know, maybe what you do is you get some of these parents or the staff or people that can't, the other students that can't show up and support, maybe you have them film, you know, their reaction to, you know, that 10th point as well. And, you know, maybe put like a collaboration of reactions as well. And maybe, you know, after the fact, you're like, hey, like this event expanded past our gym this year.
I think that's great. And I would actually like to nominate Thomas Bingham, that Texas eighth generation, to lead that initiative because I think he'll do a great job. No, that is a good idea. And I don't know, you know, it's certainly something to think about. And I don't mean that to be passive. I mean, we just have to make sure we have the bandwidth, no pun intended there, to make sure we can do it. But that is a cool idea. And I know that a lot of pro leagues are doing that with watch parties. And you know, I know now they even have, you know, everyone's in Zoom. So when someone scores a touchdown, you can see everyone's reaction and stuff like that. So I appreciate that. That is a good idea. Hopefully this is the first and only year we ever have to have this discussion. But the good luck and, the good thoughts anyway.
Yeah, we definitely need to have this event packed in future years, 2021, as it has in past years when y'all have hosted it. I know, like I said before, you do so much at St. Andrews. You run the social media. You do, obviously, you're the associate athletic director at that school. You're the head lacrosse coach. How do you handle all your responsibilities?
That's a great question. I'm still trying to figure that out, actually. I don't know. You know, I'm so fortunate to work with such a great team, not just the school community, but specifically athletics. I mean, we are just a tight-knit team. I think the biggest thing is that in 2020, I would say that the key to our success has just been levity and just trying to laugh at things as much as we can and just, you know, just live in the moment. And for me personally, thankfully, I have a very understanding family, and they are also St. Andrews' number one fans. So, you know, a situation where if I have to run to a game, you know, they can come and just cheer them on. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work. But again, I would say credited to just very careful timing, a lot of laughter, and just thankfully work with such a great crew that, you know, allows to support me and allows me to support them.
And obviously, I also mentioned it. You have a big hand in the lacrosse program at St. Andrews. I know, you know, you come from the Northeast. Obviously, that's such a hotbed for that sport up there. What do you kind of anticipate for this year's success? I know you've been there for the last couple of years. How do you see this year being different compared to past years? How do you feel like this team can continue its success from past years? And what do you feel like is going to be kind of the biggest challenge to overcome?
You know, one of the things, this is my fifth year heading into now lacrosse. And when I got here, I felt that our middle school and lower schools weren't really having enough emphasis put on them. And so I spent the last number of years doing clinics. We actually have our clinic next weekend for our first and sixth graders and camps and clinics. And so really trying to build that up because that is the best feeder program. And, you know, some of these schools only have high school, so they really got to, you know, not that we don't have to, you know, go out there and you know, and try and make St. Andrews, you know, available and attainable and attractive to people. But we have our own youth feeder program. So I've spent a lot of time on that. So I'm proud to say that this year our fifth and sixth grade team has grown to so many guys that we actually will have two teams this year.
Oh, great.
And for our varsity, we normally have about 24 to 25 guys. This year we have 29, possibly even one more joining, 30 guys. So it's you know, numbers-wise, I'm starting to see the fruits of all of our hard work collectively. And when I say all of our hard work, I mean that because all of our players, they run the clinics and camps with me, and our coaches help out. So from that standpoint, I feel like we're really at a good, sustainable point here. We certainly can never take our foot off the gas, but I'm excited about that. As far as challenges go, I'm actually going to be coaching both middle school teams as well as the varsity. So you talked about, you know, a lot of responsibilities. I just added more on. So that's going to be a physical challenge. It's just making sure that I can be everywhere I need to be and just careful scheduling. As far as season outlook goes for the varsity, we feel really good about it. The SPC reconfigured, so just like football where it's a 3A, 4A school based on size, they did the same for lacrosse, and we feel real good about the 3A spot where we're at.
Nice.
And then the Texas High School Lacrosse League, which is the state league we also play in, we play in two leagues at the same time, also reclassified, and we are in the Class C from A through D, and we feel really good about where we are and who we're playing. So a lot of optimism. And then also, I think the last thing I think it's worth noting is that, you know, the spring season was the one that essentially got shut down to start with COVID. And fall, we did a little bit. Winter, we're doing a little bit more. And hopefully by the time we get to spring, you know, with all the good stuff coming down the pike and the fact that we're outdoors, we're really hopeful that we can get a full season in and, you know, and kind of get back to, I hate to say normal, but back to more normal times than we have currently.
Yeah, we definitely hope that y'all can get a complete season in as well and continue this great success, not only within the lacrosse program at St. Andrews, but across the board in athletics at that school. Big thanks, Coach, for joining us today, and we really enjoyed talking to you.
Same back, Thomas, and I echo what I know Jeff said on his call about a month ago. Just we're just so thankful to VIPE and all the coverage you give us, and we look forward to staying in touch and partnering as much as possible with you.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure, Coach. Obviously, we're going to start winding down this segment. We'll talk to you in a couple minutes. A lot of playoff coverage and more ahead. You'll definitely want to keep your radio dial on its app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Vibe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the Vibe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bing, the host of this great show. We just got done talking with Coach Josh Blumenthal of Austin St. Andrews Episcopal. Obviously, if you heard the interview, you know he does so much for the athletics at that school, and he's definitely busy, and it was great talking to him. And definitely, if you have the opportunity to go check out Silent Night at Austin St. Andrews Episcopal School this week, it is definitely worth you checking it out, whether on the Vibe Live broadcast or in person. But before we continue, I do want to say once again, like I said at the end of the first segment, very sad news that Liberty Hill head football coach Jeff Walker did pass away this week. He was such a legend in the Austin area, Central Texas, and I definitely want to send my best wishes to everybody in his family and obviously the whole Liberty Hill community. Staying on football, obviously a lot of football playoff action to get through. Over the next 10 minutes or so, I want to go through the area small school football playoff results from this week and obviously the schedules ahead. Not only for small schools, but with the 5A and 6A kicking off their postseason this week as well. We start with 4A. And the first team you probably are thinking of, because they're having a great surge right now, is Austin LBJO College. And we don't have their score because they're playing the day of our recording. But hopefully, Jaguars do advance again, because, man, they've been playing so great this year. And they are lucky enough to have gotten to 10 games as of last week. And so it's really great, as late of a start that the Jaguars had, and whether or not they win this weekend, it's great to see the Jaguars playing in the regional final in 4A. But many scores that we do have: 9-4A Division II, China Springs lost to Carthage 52-14. In all 14-4A Division II battle, Wimberley beat Geronimo Navarro 35-14. An all 12-3A Division I battle, Hallisville 23, Columbus 21. An all 13-3A Division I battle, Llano 31, Laga Vista 25. Another all-district matchup, this time from 13-3A Division II, Franklin 56, Buffalo 33. 4-2A Division I, Cisco lost to Post 33-0. In 7-2A Division I, two district opponents, Crawford beat Bosqueville 48-0. 13-2A Division I, Shiner beat Refurio 24-13. I was at this game this week, and man, it was a great performance by the Comanches of Shiner, especially after they lost that game last year in the postseason. But also, Refurio has dominated this series since 2014. So you can definitely check out that recap on Vibe.com. 14-2A Division I. Actually, their last member got eliminated round three. 10-2A Division II, Mart beat Tenaha 54-23. And then a state semifinal 1A matchup. Richland Springs beat Strawn in probably the game of the night, 59-56. And Richland Springs is a 16-1A Division II team. Results have just been shared, but I want to go through the schedule for small school action this week. So if Austin LBJ beat Corpus Christi Miller on Saturday, it will play Lindell. You also have a 14-2A Division II member involving Wimberley taking on defending state champ Carthage. This is going to be a remarkable matchup. Obviously, both these teams were spectacular last year. Made it to a state title game. Carthage won the 4A Division I state title. Wimberley lost the 4A Division II title game. So these two teams are gunning for another trip to this year's state title game. You also have a 12-3A Division I versus 13-3A Division I matchup between Houghtsville and Llano. 13-3A Division II's Franklin will play Wascom. 7-2A Division I's Crawford will play Post. 13-2A Division I's Shiner will play Timpson. 10-2A Division II's Mart will play Falls City. And 16-1A Division II's Richland Springs doesn't play this week because they've already advanced to the state title game in a week and a half. So props to Richland Springs. Richland Springs will play Balmoria. Now for the large school football playoff schedule. Now, before we get to this, as a reminder, for UIL 6A, they split it up after the regular season. So if you recall, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A, they have preset Division I and Division II districts. But what they do in 6A, as they've done for a number of years, is they just do it, hey, these are the 6A districts. There's 32 6A districts. 1-6A all the way down to 32-6A. I think I said that right. 1-6A to 32-6A. And then what they do is, based off enrollment, obviously the two highest that qualify for the playoffs will go to Division I, and the two lowest that qualify for the postseason from a particular district will go Division II. So we start with the 12-6A Division I matchups. Harker Heights will play Duncanville, and Clean Shoemaker will play DeSoto. 25-6A Division I will battle 26-6A Division I. Round Rock will play Lake Travis, and Roanoke Cedar Ridge will play Westlake. 12-6A Division II, Temple will play Waxahachie. Bryan will play Cedar Hill. Obviously, Temple and Bryan are 12-6A Division II members. In the 25-6A Division II versus 26-6A Division II matchups, you have Austin Vandegrift versus Austin High, Battle of Austin, Battle of ATX. You also have Cedar Park Vista Ridge versus Hayes. Now we have the 5A Division I playoff teams. They're taking on the 12-5A Division I team. So 11-5A Division I versus 12-5A Division I. Cedar Park versus San Antonio Veterans Memorial. Georgetown versus Dripping Springs. That's going to be a good one. I'm excited for that one. Pflugerville-Henderson versus Seguin. Pflugerville versus New Braunfels Canyon. 13-5A Division II versus 14-5A Division II. Leander Rouse will battle Austin Northeast Early College. Brenham will play Marble Falls. Georgetown Eastview will play Austin McCallum. And Leander Glenn will play Liberty Hill. Now, you probably know that 15-5A Division II has an Austin area member in Lockhart. That is correct. As of our recording, there were some games that were being played that had to determine who was playing who. And it wasn't really the 15-5A Division I teams. Or sorry, the 15-5A Division II teams. It was who they were, would be matched up in the opening round from 16-5A Division II. So, unfortunately at this time, because of all the moving parts, I'm not going to be able to share the by-district schedule for 15-5A Division II. But next week and future weeks, as long as this district has teams still playing, I will update that from here on out. So I just wanted to let y'all know. Now, I wanted to go through my pick-ems for the week ahead. And like I did a while back, I started doing playoff pick-ems when the small schools started their postseason. And so, and then last week, I think I threw in some key regular season large school because there were just weren't enough playoff matchups involving small schools. This week, we have 12 playoff matchups, some big, some small. And so we're going to start with Harker Heights and Duncanville. Harker Heights has won 4 in a row, and they're a winner of 5 of 6. They're taking on a 6-1 Duncanville squad. Obviously, Duncanville has had some great success the last couple of years. I'm going Duncanville. Clean Shoemaker versus DeSoto. I got DeSoto in this one. DeSoto is a DFW power. Round Rock and Lake Travis. This game is scheduled for Round Rock or in Round Rock, but I got Lake Travis. This game is going to be one of those kind of like pick 'em games. I think it could go either way, but I got Lake Travis. I'm going off of the experience from obviously deep runs in recent years. Round Rock Cedar Ridge versus Westlake. I got Westlake. Temple and Waxahachie. I got Temple. Bryan and Cedar Hill. I got Cedar Hill. Austin Vandegrift versus Austin High. I got Austin Vandegrift. Cedar Park Vista Ridge and Hayes. This game's interesting, but I'm going with Kyle Brown and Cedar Park Vista Ridge. Georgetown and Dripping Springs, another toss-up game. But man, Georgetown has been so good in the second half of the season. They really have. Flugerville Henderson versus Seguin. I got Seguin, actually. Seguin's been playing really, really good ball. They finished tied for first in their district. Leander Glenn and Liberty Hill. I got Liberty Hill. I think it'd be awesome for Liberty Hill to win a playoff game after Jeff Walker recently passed away. It'd be awesome to see his team win a playoff game for him not long after his passing. Wimbledon-Carthage, one of the best matchups in the state this week, but I got the defending state champ Carthage. Wimberley has been red hot, but man, Carthage has just been dominating everybody. They just shut down a China Spring team that had beaten like 3 straight top 10 teams in the state in 4A Division I. Both those teams are looking really good. It'd be awesome to see that game. It's going to be played in New Caney. Well, we're going to start winding down this segment. We got one more to go. And like I said, I have some thoughts on some of the playoffs qualifications in 2020 from area districts and some of the things that I'm like kind of questioning. So definitely stay tuned for that. Excited to dive into that. And we'll see wherever else this show takes us. If you enjoy the show, definitely follow us on social media and definitely check out Vibe.com. We'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
Follow the latest in Central Texas high school sports all week long online at VibeATX.com. Welcome back to the Vibe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Time to jump back in south, folks. It's our loaded final segment for the Vibe High School Spotlight. If you haven't already, definitely follow us on social media. Vibe Texas on Facebook, Vibe underscore ATX on Instagram, and Vibe ATX on Twitter. Let me say that once again. Vibe Texas on Facebook, Vibe underscore ATX on Instagram, and Vibe ATX on Twitter. You can follow me on social media, those accounts, at Texan 8th Gen. I know Coach Josh Blumenthal mentioned that a little bit earlier on in the show. Proud 8th generation Texan I am. We've gone through a lot on today's program. We've gone through, obviously, the playoff schedules for 1A through 6A. We updated our area. Vipe Boston, UL 5A Division 2, UL 5A Division 1, and UL 6A football rankings going into the postseason. We won't update those until the state championships have been played or until after the last Austin area team has been eliminated. So definitely stay tuned in future episodes. We're going to obviously find some other coverage. You know, maybe it's other sports. Maybe it's bringing on some other voices, some other interviews. Definitely stay tuned. I'm excited to see where our show goes in future weeks. I touched on it earlier about some of the interesting decisions that area district executive committees decided. And it really started coming to my mind a couple weeks back when Lake Travis announced that it would not be able to play its last two district games. And up to that point, it seemed like there were a lot of forfeits, not just in this area, but across the state. And it's like as the season started to wind down and there was less time to make up games, you started seeing more cancellations instead of forfeits. And I was always like, okay, that doesn't make sense to me. You would think that, you know, a district game, which means so much to the postseason picture, who ends up qualifying from these districts, that they would end up canceling games instead of giving a forfeit win and a forfeit loss to whoever was involved in the matchup. Whoever could play, whoever was ready to play, should have been rewarded a forfeit win. And whoever couldn't play should have, in my mind, been rewarded a forfeit loss. And for some reason, 26-6A, where Lake Travis is located, they were not given any losses for not being able to play Austin Akins Early College or Westlake. And Austin Akins Early College and Westlake were not given wins. And I am very curious about that. I don't understand that. You would think that, you know, it's one thing to cancel a non-district game because it doesn't have any factor on who qualifies from a district. But a district game, every game is supposed to come into play. Now, in Lake Travis's scenario, even if they would have been given losses, it would not have changed their playoff spot. They were locked in whether they won or lost those games. Well, definitely if they would have lost those games. If they would have won, especially against Westlake, obviously they would have shot the top seed in Division I from 26-6A. But if they lost both games or lost one of the games, it would not have changed where they went because of their enrollment size, but also who they'd already beaten in district. But there were some districts like 11-5A Division I, and I touched on it a little bit earlier, where going into this week, there were some teams that really needed every game to be played to have a shot. Maynard, basically, once Pflugerville Weiss had canceled, that gave Cedar Park the district championship. And also, once Pflugerville Henderson, their game against Leander, got pushed back a couple days this week, and it cost Pflugerville Henderson and Pflugerville a chance to play each other, that also cost Maynard a chance to play. And you would have thought that, you know, in a game where, and then, you know, Leander, you have Pflugerville, Pflugerville Henderson, all three of those teams were battling for those last couple spots in that district. And there were different scenarios. Now, props to Pflugerville Henderson for beating Leander this week. That was big. Because if they would have lost that game, they would have missed the playoffs. Leander would have been in the playoffs. And if Pflugerville Henderson wouldn't be able to play both Leander and Pflugerville last week, there were different scenarios where, you know, Pflugerville Henderson could have been anywhere from 3 to 5 in the final district standings. And Pflugerville, even though they weren't able to play this week because Hendrickson, their game got pushed back too far for Pflugerville to have played Pflugerville Henderson, you would have thought that, in a sense, Pflugerville Henderson would have been given a forfeit loss, and Pflugerville would have been given a forfeit win, which would have given Pflugerville the 3 seed in that district, and Pflugerville Henderson would have been the 4th seed. But the district decided, okay, we're going to cancel Pflugerville versus Pflugerville Henderson game, even though it had so many, you know, implications to it. And it's like it was never on the schedule ever, which is really interesting. I would love to talk to someone about what went into that decision. Because usually, if there's key games down the stretch that are going to help define a playoff race, you try to get every game in as possible. I understand that there was only so much time that they could use with the playoff start next week. It wasn't like they had next week to make up the Pflugerville versus Pflugerville Henderson game. And then you have 12-5A Division One. And according to reports, even though Buda Johnson is going to have the 4th best district record, they're going to send San Antonio Vernon Zamora, which has the 5th best record, which I've never seen before. You know, you've seen it like in college sometimes where like if a team's ineligible for like a district championship, or not a district championship, a conference championship in college, you know, obviously it would go to the whoever finished 2nd in the district. Even like if, for instance, you know, this really good team, you know, they're on infractions and they just say they have the, you know, they win all their conference games in college, but they're ineligible for championships in this one season, obviously the title would go to the number 2. But obviously you don't have that for Buda Johnson and San Antonio Vernon Zamora. I mean, Buda Johnson earned 4 district victories this year, 3 of which came from forfeit wins. And the district decided, okay, we're going to favor on-field wins over forfeit wins. And actually, Buda Johnson, one of its forfeit wins came against San Antonio Vernon Zamora because San Antonio Vernon Zamora couldn't play the week that they were scheduled to. And so there's all these different signs that point to, like, okay, Buda Johnson should be qualifying from this district. But it sounds like San Antonio Vernon Zamora will be going to the playoffs even with the 5th best record. Because when you look at Vernon Zamora, all their wins were on the field. I believe they went 3-4 in district play. But even though Buda Johnson had 4 district wins, 3 of which came free of forfeit, the district reportedly is going to be sending San Antonio Vernon Zamora instead of Buda Johnson, which is very surprising. I mean, I've never seen that before. I mean, I've seen, you know, districts having different rules to determine 3-way ties in a district. You know, sometimes it's point differential, sometimes it's a coin flip, sometimes it's, you know, there's different scenarios. And people do like local rulings in different areas of life. So I'm not surprised that, you know, especially for like a 3-way tie, that there may be different rules, you know, if you're in El Paso or Carthage or Canadian, or if you're in Brownsville. I totally understand that, but you would think with some of the signs and factors that I've already brought up that you would give Buda Johnson that edge over San Antonio Vernon Zamora. So hopefully there's more explanation as the days go on, because obviously Buda Johnson was a great story this year. And, but regardless of whether or not the district plans on sending Buda Johnson or not this year, which it sounds like it's probably more likely going to be San Antonio Vernon Zamora, it was still a great first varsity year for Buda Johnson's football team. And it should be a sign that in future years, this team can be a player in the playoff races, which is great to see. It's great to see another new kid on the block, as I've referred to Buda Johnson Athletics multiple times on Vibe.com. It's great to see another team kind of make that splash and be like, hey, like, we're here and we're here to stay and we're excited to compete against every team that comes our way. So even if Buda Johnson cannot get in the playoffs this year because of some technicality or some rule that the district had this year, this should still be a very successful season in Buda Johnson coaches, players, and fans' mind. I mean, I believe they won 6 games this year as a first-year varsity program. That's really good. And for a while, I mean, they were just winning, winning, winning. So, that's our show today. Obviously, a little bit different than past shows, but it was great to get another interview on today's program with Austin Sanders Episcopal School's Josh Blumenthal. Obviously, so much playoff coverage. Just went through some different rulings that came out late this week before our show that really helped shape area districts going into the 5A and 6A playoffs. And we'll be back next week. I'm Thomas Bingham. You can definitely follow us on Vipe.com, VipeATX.com for daily sports coverage in the Austin area and Central Texas. Talk to you next week. Adios, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.